This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the last Wednesday service that we are going to have in the month of November. We do not have a Wednesday service next week. So if you'd like to come and join us, we've been going through the book of Revelation. We still have a few more chapters to go through there. But, I asked our congregation, what do you want to study? And they said Revelation. And I was like, okay, well, we can do that. And my thing in studying the book of Revelation is not to try and figure out all of the imagery and things like that. I want to focus on Jesus. I want to focus on what does God have to say? What do we see about Jesus? And so that's what we have been in doing in our study, understanding his will, his plan, his timeline. And then Dr. Jeremiah was doing a study on Revelation, and some other people were. And it's like, I think God really wants us to know as the body of Christ that everything he's talked about that sounded so incomprehensible as to how that could possibly happen. Now with technology, we see it's not only possible, there everything is in place to make those prophecies become a reality. So I tell people when it comes to the end times is this: don't play around with your relationship with God. Now's not the time to be playing spiritual games. Now is the time to be very, very serious. There's never a good time to be playing around with your spiritual life. Now is the time to really, really make sure that we are reaching as many people as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So like to invite you out to our services. We have a kids class. We have a young adults class. We have an adult Bible study. I'm normally teaching the adult Bible study. And so if you'd like to come out, we have services tonight, 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. And we would love to have you be a part of that. So just to let you know, I like to prepare people. Next week, Monday through Friday, will be rebroadcast. We try and spend that week taking care of some other things. There's some things that we need to take care of with decorations and around the property, and some pressure washing and things like that that we like to do that time of year. So I take that week off to make sure that the church is ready for the holiday season. And so want to let you know, after Friday's broadcast, it'll be another week or so before we get back into a program for, let's see, that will be December the 1st. So today we're going to be in Psalm 139, and we're going through this, and verse number 14 is what brings us to this passage. And that verse says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So we don't just like to quote the verse without looking at the passage. Too many people just snatch things right out of the context, and then they wonder why it's not coming to pass in their life. So this psalm is a psalm of David, and it talks about the incredible activity of God involved not just in David's life, but in the lives of all of those who walk in covenant relationship with God. So this passage does a great deal to undermine some of the humanistic, and I would even go far as to say some of the demonic attitudes that are trying to be perpetrated upon society and get people to believe things that the Word of God does not say. And like we've talked about in Psalm 138, that God's Word is magnified above all, everything. So we need to look to the Word of God so that we can see what it has to say and put our faith and trust in that. So here we go. I'll read verses 1 through 6, and we'll pick up in verse number 5 because we left off in verse number 4 yesterday. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I'll just keep reading. Verse number 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the mornings and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. So we're gonna stop reading there, and go back to verse number 5, and it says, "You have hedged me behind and before." I was watching a video, and it was my son has some property. He's got some livestock on it, and last year, I think it was last year, might have been earlier this year, we're getting close to the end here, he had me come out because there was some areas in his fence that needed to be repaired. He needed to repair those, not because he didn't have anything to do, but because he wanted to make sure that his livestock were secure, that, you know, they stayed where they were supposed to be. And so it wasn't like he didn't have anything that he could have done with the money. It wasn't like he, was sitting around saying, I'm bored, what should I do? But instead he wanted to repair those fence lines because he wanted to make sure that his livestock was taken care of. I want you to know that God protects his people. When you read the book of Job, Job accuses God of protecting Job in such a way that the enemy has not been able to successfully attack Job with some of the ways that he would be successful in getting to other people. He said, you've put a hedge of protection around him. If you look, God never denies that. You and I, when we do not have Jesus as our Savior, he looks at us like he looked at the masses in the New Testament. And he said he was moved with compassion because when he looked at them, he saw them as being sheep without a shepherd. A shepherd was more than just somebody who was out in the field, you know, just, you know, hanging out. The shepherd was actually the protection. So they didn't have barbed wire fences or things like that. The shepherd made sure that the sheep stayed where they were supposed to. The shepherd made sure that they were cared for. The shepherd made sure that those lambs who had been rejected had a close relationship with him. And he protected them from enemies. So here David, who had experience as a shepherd, said, God, you have hedged me behind and before. In the first five books of the Bible, where it is describing the responsibilities and the blessings that belong to the tribes of Israel, it is described that Dan, the tribe of Dan, was supposed to be Israel's rear guard. In other words, Dan's positioning was to make sure that there were not stragglers, that there were not sneak attacks or ambushes that came up from behind where people wouldn't know what was going on. I'm thankful that God has our behind. He has our back. So a friend of mine that I've known for 40 years, he preached a few years ago, and he had come to Florida to pastor before I had come to Florida. In fact, when I went to my first district council, I saw him, and it's like, what are you doing here? I mean, he was in cold country the last time I saw him, and the day that I met him was his last day at that particular church, and he had come to Florida, planted a church, and did a great job, and God, you know, just kept elevating him and promoting him, and he was in the national office. But so he came and preached one of our anniversary services, and he said when he first came to Florida, there was a gentleman in his church, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know I've got your back. And you have to understand this brother, he'd come out of a very difficult environment. He had come out of a very difficult area, and it was, you know, his life pre-Christ was a life of people, you know, trying to stab one another in the back and get ahead through that sort of stuff. And so you learn to kind of sleep with one eye open in those sorts of environments. And it's, you don't have a lot of trust in people. And so when that gentleman in his church told him, hey, I've got your back, he said, brother, I don't want you anywhere near my back until I know that you have my heart. Now, when God tells us that he's hedged us in from behind, he's telling us, I've got your back, and I want you to have my heart. So please understand that walking in life as a Christian is not a fair journey. It is a blessed journey because our perspective of all that God has protected us from will never be fully understood until we get to heaven. And then I think we will see that there were a lot of fiery darts that the enemy fired our way, but because of the faith we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, those fiery darts did not strike their mark because God had hedged us in from behind. He not only has us in from behind, but he also protects us before. I talked about Dan. Well, the tribe of Judah was supposed to be the tribe that led forth. It was the tribe from which authority came, and Judah would go forth. It was the tribe of praise, but it was also the tribe of authority. And so God not only protects us from behind, but he goes before us. He makes sure that we're going to be taken care of. He orders our steps. He directs our paths. So throughout our early years of marriage and ministry, we've always had family that was a long ways away. And we discovered pretty early on that my wife's style of travel and my style of travel, I mean, we couldn't afford to fly, so it was driving. And I would just get in, and I just want to get there. I don't want to speed because I'm allergic to speeding tickets, causes my wallet to break out into poverty. And so I just wanted to get there. I wanted stops to be quick, and we'll get gas and food and take care of the other things, that we'll just get back on the road and get there just as soon as we can. That was the way that we traveled. I've since learned in latter years, you know, there is something to be said for not just getting to the destination, but enjoying the journey. So I was recently introduced to a different way of travel, and that is that there are people who've traveled roads frequently enough that they know where they want to stop. And so they plan ahead for the exact location where they were going to be. And I want you to know that that's what God does before us. He clears the path of the enemies, of the traps that the enemy has set to try and destroy or discourage or to damage his people. So you and I, we need to realize what a great blessing it is that God not only protects our back, but he also protects us in advance for what the enemy is doing. Here's a couple of other additions from Bob. God not only protects our back, not only does he protect us from a frontal assault, but he also protects us on the right hand. He protects us on our left hand. He protects us from underneath, and he protects us from above. I believe that God wants his people living in a bubble of his presence, if you will, surrounded by his presence. If there's anything that we have learned in society, is that if there is a way to exploit a security system, someone will figure out a way to exploit it. And then once it's exploited, then people come in and try and fortify that area, try to eliminate that loophole, that weak spot, and make it secure. That's reactionary. David describes here that God wants us walking in the protective favor of God. Now, what did this look like in David's life? In David's life, he was before he was anointed, he was susceptible to a lion attack, and he was susceptible to a bear attack, and God protected him. He was susceptible to an attack on a giant, or by a giant, and God protected him. David was anointed by Samuel And that anointing said, you are going to be king over Israel. Now, I'll tell you another thing that God protected David from that many other royal changes did not take advantage of when it concerned the 10 northern tribes. That a person would be anointed king, and they'd say, must mean for right now. And bam, they would go out and eliminate everybody that was already in those royal positions. David was protected by God from laying hands on the Lord's anointed. And he had the opportunity. But he sowed seeds of respect and honor to a person who was actually trying to kill him. And not only that, whenever people did that to, whenever they assassinated kings or killed kings in battle and things like that, David said, why weren't you afraid to put your hand on the Lord's anointed? And he realized that if they would do that to that person, they would also do that to him. David was protected not only from, you know, trying to take matters into his own hands, but he was protected when his men got discouraged during difficult times. There were a lot of opportunities where David's anointing to be king did not look like it was going to come to pass. There was an Edomite that saw David when David was trying to, you know, find a safe place. And God protected David in that point in time. So I want to tell you this, that when God puts a call on your life, and when he is hedging you in behind and before and on the right hand and on the left, above and beneath, he's also protecting from external attacks. He's preventing from internal ungodly motivations. When God says you're protected, you're protected. Verse number 5 concludes, and laid your hand upon me. Psalm 139:5, you have laid your hand upon me. And in scripture, there's two different pictures of laid your hand upon, and one of them is that, you know, there are people who attack one another. That's an ungodly one. That's not what's being talked about here. There's another passage that talks about praying the prayer of faith and having the elders lay their hands on you, anoint you with oil, and pray the prayer of faith over you, out of the book of James. And so when I was looking at this, it says laid your hand upon means that. It means to ordain. It means to cause to happen. And when I looked at that, I got a mental picture of a shepherd who comes along and picks up a damaged sheep, or he finds a sheep that holds special place in the flock, and he comes and he picks that sheep up and builds a relationship with that sheep so that they recognize his voice, so that they are among the first to follow. And I want you to know that God has ordained your life. A lot of times we talk about ordained to this position or ordained to that position. God lays his hand upon us. He takes grasp of us, not in a punitive way, not in a violent way, but in a compassionate way. So whenever you see a parent with a child or a caregiver with a child, and they're going to be traveling in a path that it would be easy for that child to become distracted and not pay attention to their mother or their father, you'll see them reach over and they will grab hold of the child, not in a violent way, but in a compassionate way. And they said, their motivation is, we don't want anything to happen to you. We're in this journey together. I don't know who's listening throughout Brevard County, but I want you to know this today. God's hand is upon you. His hand is on you like that loving husband who gently puts his hand. I saw a video of this person who gently put his hand on his wife's back as they were walking, and is like, I'm here. I'm with you. We're going to get through this together. One of my favorite memories of my childhood was my parents took us to a theme park, and I remember the name of the video experience that we were part of. It was called the Great American Chevy Show. Or the Chevy Great American Show, one of those two things. And they would show this high speed video, and you're sitting in theater seats, but it makes you think like you're driving a race car, you're flying a helicopter, you're going off of a cliff. And back in those days, it was like, how in the world did they really record that? You know, now with drones and everything, it could be done very, very easily. But there I was probably, about 12 or 13 years old. My grandmother was sitting right next to me, and in the video, now it's on a movie screen. The chairs aren't moving. The floor's not moving. It was old school technology, but it looked like we were getting ready to go off of a cliff. And all of a sudden my grandmother's arm came right across my chest, and she was going to protect me from going off of the cliff. And it's like, I wasn't going any place, but it is just one of those things. It's like, grandma will always be grandma, in that she's going to protect her grandkids. I want you to know, granny had nothing on God. God is always in that mode of valuing the people he has redeemed, valuing their life. And he wants you to know he's a hands-on God. He's protecting you. He is on assignment, and he loves his job. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."